Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by my Schviadel, Rich Stambolian.
Ooh. That's my impression of everybody on that show.
I love a Schviadel. Who doesn't love a Schviadel?
I know we're not doing Matt Pranos this week, but yeah. I do think that half of the shit that they talk about on that show, I had no idea about. I had to look it up. Like after watching a bunch of stuff, I didn't know what Schviadel was.
What do you mean you didn't get any Schviadel?
Perfect. Guys, so next week, let's pay the bills a little bit here. Before next week, Rich and I are going to be doing something pretty different. We're going to do something called Matt Pranos, and this will be on Patreon. So we'll release the first episode, obviously, for everybody. Well, we're going to put this behind Patreon, and it's going to be Rich and myself watching an episode of The Sopranos and pretty much describing, you know, what we're going to do. We're going to watch the episode prior. So we're going to have our notes, and then we're going to watch it and go through an entire episode of The Sopranos with you guys. And we're just going to pick random episodes. There's going to be no sense made as far as if you've watched it. Now we're just going to bounce around and pick our favorite episodes. Rich has picked, I think, for next week. You want to do this one? Season 3, episode 9. What's the name
ahead,
of it?
I'm sorry. The Telltale Muzadel.
Telltale Muzadel? Is that what it is?
Muzadel.
Oh, Muzadel. So we're going to watch that. I watched that already this week. So Rich and I were a little confused as to how we're going to do this. I ended up watching it. Rich didn't. So we're going to watch. He's going to watch it. I'll watch it again just so it's on my mind. But it has one of the greatest lines in any show ever. And this is why The Sopranos is a comedy. An old man that owns a pizzeria says, "My pizza never hurt to nobody." Greatest line ever. So we're going to do that next week on Patreon right after this show. But this week, holy moly, Rich, so much wrestling, so much great wrestling. We're going to talk about the pay-per-view. Obviously, AEW Double or Nothing took place on Sunday. Monday Night Raw was okay. It was actually not bad.
It was fun.
It was a very different dynamic with having a small audience there of NXT Performance Center guys, but obviously NXT last night and AEW both very good shows.
Mm-hmm.
Very good shows, and it's been a long time since I did the flip back and forth. That to me generally, and I don't know for you, Rich, and you tell me if I'm doing the flip back and forth. That's a big deal, right? If you're going back and forth between the channel and you're really invested on both products, like that main event, I don't know which one to watch.
Yeah, that was a tough call. Also, like, I think that's a testament because you got like a family, you have like a bunch of kids running around. So for something to retain your attention that much that you're like, I need to see what's on both of these channels while ignoring everything, I think that's a testament to how good NXT and AEW pretty much are, right?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. So let's run down really quickly. I don't want to spend too much time on Double or Nothing. I got to tell you, I know people are going to be upset with this. I thought Double or Nothing was not a good show. I did not love it.
Really?
I did not love Double or Nothing. And once we go through it, I'll explain why. I had a lot of issues with this pay-per-view. And I thought initially it was just me turning sour during the live watch-along, because it's stressful. The watch-along is very stressful for me. I got phone calls. I got you. I got MG Geek. I got other callers. I got the chat room. So sometimes you can't really pay attention, but I was getting very stressed because my studio was like 95 degrees by that point. So I want to kind of run down this show with you very quickly and explain why. I know that you loved it. I'm going to explain why I didn't like it, and I'm curious if you think that I have a valid point here.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, I don't know if you have it pulled up in front of you, but let's go through. Obviously, we're going to do this quick. Best Friends versus Private Party in that opening match. I thought Private Party looked not great.
In what way? You have to be a little more clear about your description.
So, they looked a little green. They weren't their footing was off. Listen, Chuck Taylor and Trent, they're veterans at this point, right? They've been around everywhere.
Old hands.
Private Party's coming up, and I think you need a tag team like Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta to kind of take care of an up and coming tag team. I feel like it just didn't blend, and they gave them a lot of time, 15 minutes on this pre-show match.
Huge.
Yeah, a lot of time. Then you had something that I totally pulled out of left field when I said Brian Cage. But Brian Cage was the mystery opponent in this ladder match.
Yes.
For a number one contendership opportunity for the AEW World Championship. So you had Brian Cage with Taz now managing him. So this goes back to AEW being big on tag teams. You had Brian Cage with Taz, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Joey Janela, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian with Jimmy Havoc and Penelope Ford, which I like that tag team. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Frankie Kazarian and Luchasaurus. I thought this was a very fun match.
Real fun match. Great start, great ending, great middle. Really good. This is their first ladder match, right?
This was the... No, they did... Didn't they do a ladder match with the Young Bucks?
Yes. Yes, that with versus Penta and the Lucha Bros. Yeah. Okay. This was pretty fantastic. I really like the cast of characters that they have. This was a good utilization of the roster, as and like diametrically opposed to it, like WWE would just throw a bunch of dudes who have no business being in a ring together, right?
So this is Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of like how they're going to do it. I hope they continue doing this casino ladder match at Double or Nothing. That'll be the big, you know, moment, and they scheduled the match. So Brian Cage wins. This dude is gigantic.
Oh, my God.
Just big dude, a lot of presence. I'm a fan of his, so I thought this was a good win. MJF with Wardlow versus Jungle Boy. They gave this 17 minutes. This was a very good standard wrestling match. I don't think MJF should have won. I think MJF should have lost. And leading up to everything that happened at on the show today, last night, where they're kind of showing the strain between Wardlow and MJF, I think they could have had that play a part as to why MJF could have lost.
Okay. I liked it. It was, again, a very, very long match, right?
Yeah.
Good ending. 17. And these guys are super young, so, like, it's okay at this point in their career to have, like, little television or televised foibles. But very solid, man. I think they kind of showed you why they're... These guys might be the future of the company, right?
MJ, yeah. MJ, listen, you know, I was thinking about this. That TV title is made for MJF.
100%.
I realized it yesterday. Like, he was cutting that promo, and I was like, my God, that title, that AEW TNT title is... Mm-hmm. For him, that's the only one that comes to mind. Having him hold that title for like a year and a half, being this cocky arrogant heel, would be phenomenal. Love it.
It's a good way to separate your top tier superstars, your top tier wrestlers, from the rest of the roster who may or may not ever get a shot at that big belt, right?
Yeah.
So if you have the TV title, you have Cody holding it. Any one of the dudes in that ladder match, you could be like, oh, he makes a great TV champion, right? Or like, even like a Marco Stunt, you'd be like, oh, he's got like, he had a 2-week run with that belt, you know? Yeah. It doesn't take away from it, as opposed to like, let's say if you put on the AEW championship on Jungle Boy now, I don't think that would sit well with a lot of people, and it would just be like a ludicrous decision, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What else was on this card here? I just lost this page.
Cody beats Lance in a 22-minute match.
Okay, nice traditional style. I enjoyed the match.
Absolutely.
I didn't love it, but I did like it. Again, they went 22 minutes. I feel like every one of these matches went a little long. They just went a little bit long. But on the other side, obviously, Cody wins the AEW TNT title. A lot of controversy over this AEW TNT title. It looked like crap. Mm-hmm. They brought that title up. Mike Tyson brings the AEW TNT championship out. And the first thing we all said was, oh, my God, that thing's not complete. It's an incomplete.
Right.
Immediately, we all recognize that this is not a complete belt, a complete title. AEW has made comments multiple times that their titles are going to look good. They're not going to do, you know, gaudy, like, the 24/7 title. And this thing kind of resembles the 24/7 title. Came out, the belt maker made a post, and I believe AEW posted what the finished version will look like, and it's a lot better. And it's much better. So they had problems producing this, obviously, due to coronavirus and facilities being closed or backed up. So we'll see what happens there. They're going to re-release that title, and it'll look much better. But it was okay. Fine match. Nothing you know, amazing, but it was a really good match. Chris Stratlander defeated Penelope Ford in a very quick 5-minute and 30-second match. Nothing there. Dustin Rhodes defeated Sean Spears, 3 minutes 20 seconds. Nothing there. We'll skip over that. Sheeta versus Nyla Rose. I thought this was a very good match. I actually enjoyed this match more than I thought I would. It was a no count out, no DQ match for the AEW Women's World Championship. I thought they both performed very well, and I just think that it went a little long. This is where I'm saying everything went like 2-3 minutes too long.
So you thought the whole pay-per-view, every match went 3 minutes too long, including the Dustin Rhodes match?
Including the Dustin Rhodes match. I think that should have been 20 seconds, yeah.
Straight squash match?
It was just, you know, because you look at the timing of this, the show ended at 11:30, and I still do not believe in this modern era, no pay-per-view should go more than 11 o'clock.
I'll agree with you.
It's too much. It's too much considering now that we start at 6, we start at 7. We're able to start early now. It's not locked into this 8 o'clock time slot. So they could start the show a little early and just end it at 11. Less is more sometimes. And I think this show suffered from that. That Cody match could have gone a couple minutes shorter. The MJF Jungle Boy match could have gone a couple minutes shorter. The Brian Cage tag match. The ladder match is the only one that I think could have gone the 28 minutes.
Did you rewatch it after the fact?
Yeah, Monday.
I agree with you. I did the same thing. I agree with you. When we do the live stuff, it's kind of hard to pay attention and then pay attention to everything else. Otherwise, we would just sit here in silence and watch wrestling, which is, I'm sure that's not why people tune into us. But I'll agree that it was a little, not 100% on the bland side. I would give the show overall like a B.
No, I'm fine with that. A B is a fair number. It wasn't their best show. Just
B's a letter.
Way.
This just in.
I would do B minus for sure. All right, let me see.
BB minus.
And we had John Moxley. Sorry, Rich. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say the same exact thing.
So, okay. So John Moxley defeated Brody Lee by technical submission. 15 minutes, 30 seconds. I'm curious what they do with Brody Lee.
Do you think this was an unnecessary burial or?
No, listen, someone's got to lose somehow. I don't know what the right answer here was to this finish. I understand John Moxley needs to be a, you know, legitimate world champion, and the guy that beats him is going to be a big deal. But Brody Lee would have been a good opponent. I hope they continue this somehow, and I hope that they do something with Brody Lee, you know, going forward with this and make him look strong. It was not really. He didn't tap out. He didn't get pinned. He got choked, and he passed out.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. So it kind of looked, he looked strong there, too. 15 minutes, 30 seconds, that was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, his next opponent, Moxley's next opponent, is going to be Brian Cage, right? So it's like big dude after big dude. Right, so you went from Jack Hager to Brody Lee, and now to Brian Cage. Who's gonna be the big dude after that? Wardlow,
maybe. But Wardlow looks like he's making a face turn, so I don't know. I don't know who the big guy is.
Yeah.
Then we have the main event. I would love to see Luchasaurus and him. They probably have fun in that match. We have the main event here, which is a Stadium Stampede match. This was total chaos. It was just insanity in the match. Matt Hardy and the Elite, which consists of Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson, defeated the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. I enjoyed this match. Again, a little too long, 100%. But it's fine. I really enjoyed this match. It was a lot of fun. You know what I was thinking?
Please.
Does Matt Hardy make any sense in this?
No, but okay. I think that's what makes sense. I think
I'm going to say something without saying it, and you're going to read my mind because we've been in love with each other for these many years, and we know each other so well. Who makes sense better than Matt Hardy in this that could have possibly debuted in this spot in AEW?
As far as a singles competitor goes.
A singles competitor goes. That probably makes more sense in this match. And forget about the whole Jericho and Matt Hardy thing that they did, right?
Somebody released from WWE.
No, not from WWE. Someplace else.
Kota Ibushi.
No.
All right.
He was on Being the Elite last week.
Marty.
It's to me, it looks like this spot was intended for him.
From the beginning, from like the get-go.
From the get-go. I have very strong suspicion that this was supposed to be him, and the way that everything played out with COVID and everything else, they've maybe held off on this. Just okay. Interesting timing here. Very interesting timing here.
Would it have been as entertaining as the Matt Hardy stuff, though? I mean, they tried to drown him, and he turned into different Matt Hardys.
He did turn into different Matt Hardys.
Come on.
He did. He turned into all the Matt Hardys. Big Money Matt showed up. Original Hardy showed up. All of them are around. And then we got another version of Hardy. We got the Spot Monkey Hardy on Dynamite this Wednesday. So I thought, listen, overall, by the way, they beat the Inner Circle. Good match. It just went long. BB-, fine pay-per-view. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the other side, go ahead.
How'd you feel about that main event?
It was fine. I thought it went a little too long, which I didn't feel that way for the Undertaker AJ Styles match. I didn't feel that went too long. But I also feel that way because that show ended at like 10 o'clock and this show ended at 11:30. So if this was the ending at like 10:30, how would I have felt? I don't know.
So you were done pretty much as soon as the main event started.
I was done. Yeah, absolutely. I was done.
You were mentally exhausted.
Mentally exhausted. Yeah.
Fatigued. Exhausted by taking phone calls all night.
All night. From Sean.
I did Carlos call back, though.
Carlos, yeah. I wish he will call back. It's Carlos.
I hope Carlos calls back every time we do a show.
Me too.
With the number.
That's my favorite guy to call. So let's dive into this week. Where do you want to go? You want to go with SmackDown or Raw? Or do you want to go right to AEW?
Let's talk a little bit about Raw. This was a better episode, I guess, than it has been in a while, and I think the addition of the corralled fans in the audience made a little bit of a difference, right?
It made a huge difference. They should have been doing this from the beginning. It totally changed the dynamic of that show, where you actually had some noise and instead of just hearing, you know, every time they take a bump in the ring. It also exposed the commentary less because it was more noise. So it kind of drowned out some of the stupid stuff that they say. It was a much better show. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to add more or keep it that way, because I was told they're going to slowly add more and more people in that building.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, it made a difference in terms of watching it because of the way they spaced everybody out behind like the plexiglass. I thought that was interesting. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. And also, like, if you look at the card from Monday, this was like straight up almost like an NXT card, and talk about them pushing like the youth movement, right? Like, they're really shoving these guys down your throat in a good way.
Umberto and all those guys.
Yeah, I think Apollo beating Andrade to win the U.S. title was cool. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, where do you see Apollo go from here with that belt?
I don't know. I was trying to go to WWE's website, but it seems to be down. I think, I don't know what they do with Apollo, because he's a good guy to hold that title, but is he like, what's the plan here? You know,
like the end game for him, right? Like Andrade having the belt set up a lot of, I think set up more matches than Apollo would have in his bag, right? Because Andrade has had feuds with pretty much everybody on the roster, and plus like the inner turmoil of the eventual explosion of his faction.
Yeah.
Right. Or like he can defend that belt against all those dudes and maybe do a face turn eventually. But good for Apollo. I just think it was like a weird, like, do you think it was like a ratings pop decision?
I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I think this is a push for new talent. If mm-hmm. you look at this entire show on Monday, this was a mm-hmm. very unique show. There was virtually mm-hmm. nobody from that older group from, you know, from a couple of years past. This was all young guys and them trying to put people over, like Apollo Crews beating Andrade. These are two young guys that now they're pushing. That Nikki Cross promo, phenomenal passionate promo.
Really good. Really, yeah. really good.
Then you had Angel Garza beat Kevin Owens.
Yeah, you know? That was cool. Like, KO can, not that he can't do any wrong, but like, it's okay if he takes a loss.
It's okay if he takes a loss, yeah. Yeah. Austin Theory and Murphy defeated Aleister Black and Umberto. That was a very good match. Edge cut a great promo. That was a great promo. You know, I'm just, that we had a lot of positive stuff on the show.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be the greatest wrestling match of all time?
Dude, I find it so bizarre that they've made wrestling into a gimmick on a wrestling show, right?
Uh-huh.
Just think about that. Like, it's a wrestling show. They wrestle, but they don't mm-hmm. wrestle because nobody mentions the word wrestle. They compete. They're competitors. Mm-hmm. They're not wrestlers. They're superstars, not wrestlers. And now all of a sudden they're like, well, you know what? Let's say wrestling as a gimmick and pop everybody. Like, oh, look, they said wrestling.
Ooh, they're edgy again.
But what does it mean? Like, to you, what to me, if you told me they're going to have a wrestling match, I'm going to think they're going to do chain wrestling. A lot of matches.
Honestly, this is my thought going into it. As soon as they keep hammering that home, right? And I feel like maybe internally and the fans are also doing like kind of like a big groan of like, really? Like, how's this going to be the greatest wrestling match of all time? I immediately think of Savage Steamboat from WrestleMania 3,
okay.
right? And or like if they took that match and combined it with Shawn Undertaker at WrestleMania 25 and just made like a perfect combination of those two matches with a little bit of you sprinkle a little bit of Hogan Rock from WrestleMania 18 in there.
Yeah.
Do you think these guys could do that? Do you think this match could legitimately go down as the greatest wrestling match of all time? Because you have two dudes who could do it.
I don't think with no audience. I think they need an audience for that to be pulled off. Because that's a very hard. And by the way, you're setting yourself up for failure here, right?
Mm-hmm.
By calling it the greatest wrestling match of all time. You're setting yourself up. You have to deliver something so out of the ordinary for that to happen now. I envision they're going to go totally the opposite. Maybe they don't do a traditional run. Maybe they go like Foley, Triple H, Hell in a Cell, you know?
Okay.
Maybe they just go total batshit in the other way and they make you really go nuts, you know, and say, oh my God, what is this? I don't know. I'm curious what they'll do. I don't know how they'll pull this off, but maybe they will. We'll see. So let's go to Wednesday. Last night, I thought both shows were phenomenal. Very much enjoyed.
I enjoyed both of them. I'm going to go AEW, but I really like the main event for NXT. And I think that means, apart from that, we're maybe getting like Matt Riddle on SmackDown.
Matt Riddle's going up to SmackDown. There's a lot of rumblings as to why AJ Styles left Raw. I don't know if I should mention this or not, but what I'm hearing from internally is that him and Paul do not get along.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, yeah.
Not Paul Levesque.
Him and Paul Heyman just are on totally different pages here. AJ wants to wrestle, and Paul wants him to do stuff.
Oh yeah, like butt stuff.
Butt stuff, maybe. I don't know. It's Paul Heyman. He might book you into a crazy situation. So he was adamant on leaving and going to SmackDown.
Okay.
He did not want to be on Raw. And you could kind of see, you know, if you look at Raw, they are not hyper focusing on the top guys. They're hyper focusing on building new properties for the company. So. I think for AJ, you know, going to Raw, he really, other than that Taker thing that he did, he really didn't have tremendous traction on Raw.
No.
And it kind of makes sense for him to go over to SmackDown where he could kind of shine in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was told this week, that that's primarily the main reason why they shipped them off. Because if you look at the amount of talent on both rosters, I don't think SmackDown's hurting as much as Raw is as far as top tier.
No, not at all.
Currently available talent.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Maybe he's pissed off that his boys got fired.
I'm sure he's not thrilled about it. You know, just imagine this, right? And everyone's like, well, they chose to leave, or maybe they wanted to leave, and maybe it's fine. They could have chosen to leave, or they could have been fired. It doesn't really matter. But if you're AJ Styles, you've been traveling with these guys for how long? How many years have you been with these guys? Since 2014? Right?
Yeah.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So 6 years you've been essentially connected at the hip with these two guys, and you've built this relationship, and you've worked together. They came over to WWE along with AJ, you know, and now they're gone. You're going to be pissed. Imagine if it was me. I just left, and now you got to do a podcast with some dope.
Are we going to fantasy book what happens when you leave for a different wrestling podcast?
Yeah, we should do that one day.
Like you get hired by like Busted Open or something, and you got to go to Sirius every day.
Sorry, Rich.
And talk to Bubba Dudley. Yeah.
I'm sure he's not too thrilled with it, but I think he'll shine on SmackDown. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about Wednesday night. By the way, guys, if you enjoy what we're doing, you could go to our Patreon, fund us there, patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. You could go there, fund us as little as $1 a month, and every penny helps. That helps us for our beer tab. That helps us for our lunches that we used to do after the show every week. Mm-hmm. By the way, Rich, are you going to be in studio next week?
I will be back live and in studio. I will be wearing a hazmat suit, and on top of my hazmat suit, I'll be wearing a beekeeper outfit just for the hell of it.
And I'll be coughing all over Rich. The whole shit.
I know. That's why I'm wearing the beekeeper suit and the hazmat suit underneath, just for shits and gigs.
Do you know I find beekeeper suits hysterical?
Same here.
I don't know why. I don't know why they're so funny to me, but seeing a grown adult in a beekeeper suit, freaking hysterical. Mm-hmm. So fun. Doesn't matter. Man, woman, doesn't matter. Black, white, just
child.
Hysterical. Child. No. Child, I don't care for.
Do you think that's what that Michael Jackson song was about? If you wanna be my baby, it don't matter if you're in a beekeeper suit.
That's it. That's exactly what he was gonna say. let's go into NXT. NXT was a good show. I enjoyed even the others. The Ciampa stuff was cool. They're leading up to a Cross versus Ciampa match at In Your House, which is soon. What, 2 weeks for this?
That's gonna be fun. I want to say 2 weeks.
Yeah. That'll be a fun pay-per-view. Are they doing a Sunday pay-per-view or a Saturday? What day is this show?
In Your House?
Yeah.
Let me look that up real quick.
I want to find this. Is it a
something
Saturday?
Like the TV show In Your House came
7th.
Up.
That's a Sunday.
It's next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Wow. Sucks. I hate pay-per-views on a Sunday.
Well, this is going to be a quick one. So if we do a watch along, it'll probably be over by like 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that show's shaping up. Right now we have a bunch of matches. We have Tommaso Ciampa versus Karrion Kross with Scarlett in a singles match. I think Kross needs to go over in this.
Okay.
Which will I'm just going to run down what we have. I don't even want to dwell on it. Charlotte Flair, Ripley, Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. We got Finn Balor, Damian Priest. Another fun match. Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream. You know, I'm not even going to go into the Dream stuff, but there's a lot going on with that situation. Adam Cole definitely, I think, is going to keep this. And then Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship. I don't know if they're going to add any more matches to this, but they are a strong lineup. I'm excited to see all these matches. There's not one match I don't want to see. Probably the least match I'm interested in is probably Finn Balor, Damian Priest, right?
You know what? I'm oddly going to agree with that. And again, it's not a knock on either of those guys. It's just like a weird, like, thing. Did Finn Balor cool off for you a lot?
I don't think he was going to cool off if they had done the Walter stuff. I think he would have been still pretty hot. I'm not counting anybody cooling off as a negative right now with everything going on.
Okay.
I feel like when the crowd comes back in a full capacity, they're going to be hot for everything.
I agree with that. Okay, cool. Fair assessment.
Everybody'll balance out. It's hard. Like look on the Raw side. Right? Look at Drew. This guy was white hot after eliminating Brock Lesnar. And if they had done this, if everything had gone to plan, and this is one of the few times you cannot blame WWE for screwing something up, had nothing to do with them. Can you imagine how that reaction to him beating Brock at WrestleMania would have been?
Oh, forget it.
It would have been great.
They need to keep the belt on this guy until they have at least several pay-per-views that this dude can walk around with that belt on and get that crowd pop. If he's denied that crowd pop, I think it would be one of the biggest shames in like modern wrestling history.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, we're going to remember this. We're going to look back at this and say, my God, what could have been? I just hope once the crowd comes back, they book him super strong. Make him into... I was talking to someone there at WWE, and they said this one thing. He goes, you know what our suggestion is every time we want to get someone super hot? Have them come out and destroy everybody. Top to bottom. Like, have Drew... You want to reinvent Drew? Have him pissed off. Have him lose with like a roll-up or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next week it comes out, he's a freaking maniac. And you continue this for weeks where he's just destroying everybody, top to bottom, because he wants to get his hands on the guy that beat him, or he wants to get his hands on the guy that cost him the loss.
Right, right.
Make him lose his mind, and then you build him up into this big thing. Every time they suggest that, they're told that that's a old way of booking.
But it works. That's like a weird thing. Remember, was it like 2 or 3 years ago, where they did that exact thing with The Miz and it worked. And this dude, for like 2 or 3 weeks straight, this guy was cleaning house. And I remember both of us doing the show and being like, we never thought we'd cheer for Miz cleaning house whenever he comes out and just beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. Listen, wrestling is so simple. It's simple, but it's complicated. But it's in the core, it's so simple. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see the guys that you like losing. Right. So when they do lose, you have to mean it means something. But when they win, it has to mean even more. It's not rocket science. And, you know, right now, again, I'm going backwards, but right now I can't blame them for anything. NXT, this card looks great. I hope they fill it up with more people in the Performance Center. It looks like I just got a message from somebody that's listening. He said the intention is to add more and more people little by little. But they will be running at the Performance Center with a full crowd like they did on that NXT show eventually. Probably by the end of the month, the anticipation is.
I think slowly we're going to see more people added and added and added up until, like, who knows, end of the year maybe? Survivor Series, we'll get, like, the first full-blown crowd? November?
You know what? That's a really... That's a good number. I would say Survivors, if they don't have a live crowd for Survivor Series, I would be shocked.
You're canceling your subscription to the network.
I'm canceling life. This is all over. So AEW,
you do look very tan today, by the way.
Do I? Thank you. Thank you. That's all I was wanting from you. That's all I wanted.
Good job.
It was recognition for the beautiful tan. I've been working on it for like 2 weeks. Now I'm in maintenance mode. I want to keep this going. The whole summer.
Got to keep that tan up.
Yeah. Everything. Look at this. My arms look phenomenal with a tan. Look at that.
Good job. That's from picking up all those babies all day.
That's it. Just baby lifting. I do this with them all day long. That's it. So AEW, on the other hand, very good show. They started off with a Young Bucks match, which is great. It was Young Bucks versus, what was it? Butcher and the Blade, right?
I'm blanking because it was the Hardy thing, right? Where they came out, they came out as the Spot Monkeys.
Yeah. So the match is happening. My God, my brain just stopped. I can't remember who they faced. Someone in the chat room. Jesus. Who did they face, guys? Come on. It's embarrassing.
Oh, Butcher and the Blade interrupted them.
Butcher and the Blade interrupted, yes. Yes. Butcher and Blade interrupts, and now comes formerly known as the Revival. Now they're known as what FTR, Fuck the Rest. That's their name, Fuck the Rest. Oh, the Wrestling Private Party. Thank you. Thank you so much. My brain, I have no idea why I deleted that out of my brain.
Same here. I think you have like an allergy to Joey Janela.
You know what, dude? I was really hot on him. I slowed down. I'm getting that gross feeling a little bit from him. And nothing personal with the guy. I just feel yuck sometimes when I look at him.
You think he's like a dirt man?
But yeah, a little bit of a dirt man. A little bit of a dirt man. Okay, so Matt Hardy comes out. Old school jobber Matt Hardy, by the way. That, you know, old school early 90s preliminary match Matt Hardy. Pre-Hardy Boys Matt Hardy. Which was cool to see, considering it's a very, you know, the Hardys and the Bucks, very similar gimmicks. The same as the Midnight Express, you know, very... The Rock and Roll Express, I should say, very similar as far in the Rockers, very similar as far as character, you know, just aesthetics go. So it was cool to see him tag up with them because they're the next incarnation of the Hardys, essentially. So here comes FTR for the save. The Hardys, the Bucks get up, they go to shake their hand, they turn their back and they leave. So this is going to be an ongoing program. This match should not happen now.
No. That you save this for a pay-per-view, right?
This match should not even happen at Fyter Festival. It needs to happen at their next big pay-per-view, which is All Out.
Yeah.
In September. I would hold off and happen at All Out. There's no... I don't make that mistake. And hold off for this... So there's a crowd. You don't need to do this. So All Out is the... When is that? In September, correct? Labor Day?
I believe so, yeah.
Right? So we got... We got September 6th, right? It would be September 6th,
yeah.
Probably, or the 13th, whatever that day is, 5th. So you want it to be Labor Day weekend. That match, if you could get it in front of a crowd, I don't care what building you're in. Maybe it'll happen in Florida. If you get this thing in front of a crowd, that match is going to blow up. We've been waiting for this since 2016. Just
oh my god,
people have been wanting this. I'm hopeful that they'll execute properly with this. What else did you see? So Wardlow and MJF, their relationship is getting strained. So maybe a face turn for Wardlow at this point. The big story. By the way, All Out is scheduled for Chicago currently. I don't know if they'll run Chicago with a crowd.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have an. I've asked. Nobody has an answer. I mean, right now we're in May, so a lot could change. Everything's changing so rapidly with this. Right now, New York City's not even open. I'm watching the governor as we speak, and, you know, we're still not open. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully by that all this will be away. I'm being hopeful. I'm crossing my fingers, and then we could have a nice big crowd in Chicago for the show. But here's the other thing. Rich, would you go to a wrestling show in September?
No. I ain't going anywhere.
Did you see Jericho announce his cruise?
But that's for 2021.
But I people still on their back. Remember, that cruise is bought with pre-sale. That's how they're able to do this. So, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people that buy the ticket, but I'm sure it's in the back of people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know as well as anybody where... You know, crowds can be very gross sometimes. And I think, you know, the less crowds, the better for the foreseeable future. I'm completely fine with that. Like, wear a mask, put some gloves on. If you're going to be in close quarters with people, I don't think this thing is over or near over yet.
Somebody wrote to us. Somebody wrote, hit on your point. Somebody wrote to us on Facebook. They said, it's not going to be the same not having 20,000 people in a building. And all I could think of was, first of all, when's the last time WWE had a 20,000-person show? Raw and SmackDown are not doing that. Most pay-per-views are not doing 20,000 people. That's a thing of the past. But think about watching ECW, Rich. They used to do it out of buildings with, you know, 5,000 people was tremendously loud. 2,000, 3,000, you could make it feel great.
Oh, absolutely.
Hammerstein Ballroom. You can make that thing feel great with only a couple thousand people.
100%. And WWE knows how to shoot a crowd, too.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the Tyson thing. I have a lot of feelings about this Mike Tyson bit. So, at the end of the show, you had the Inner Circle come out and do a celebration of what? I don't remember. What were they celebrating? Losing?
I am blanking on that, too. Hold on. And I watched it. I watched this very intently yesterday. It was
a celebration of love and respect.
It was the pep rally and Jericho saying that he wants Mike Tyson's head on a platter.
Yeah. Michael Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Michael Tyson.
Michael Tyson. I would love to see that. So they do this whole thing. And here comes Tyson and his posse. AEW mm-hmm. did a terrible job on commentary explaining who was in this crew.
It's true. I don't think they knew who anybody was.
They had no clue. And I'm shocked because JR is a big MMA fan. And the fact mm-hmm. that they had no idea who any of these people were, other than Henry Cejudo, was baffling to me. So here comes Mike Tyson with his crew of UFC Hall of Famer Rashid Evans, Vitor Belfort, mm-hmm. Henry Cejudo that just recently retired. Uh-huh. Belfort, who currently also is the one champion, he's on the one championship roster. Uh-huh. And then there was another guy that was dressed like a fucking clown that ruined mm-hmm. the whole segment for me. It's Mike Tyson's friend. I forgot his name is like Guppy or Gussie or some nonsense like that. This guy came uh-huh. out. He looked drunk, in my opinion. had like smeared black paint on his face. He looked like a cartoon, and. Uh-huh. Here's Tyson now, and this is the difference between WWE and everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. Tyson was a cartoon in this segment.
Sure.
He was playing pro wrestler. He wasn't playing the baddest man on the planet. He came mm-hmm. out, and he's doing the whole wrestling thing, and he's overly animated, and he yells at Jericho. He goes, "You cheated, man. You stole that championship." What mm-hmm. championship?
It maybe got nervous.
I don't know. But he goes to rip his shirt. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks phenomenal. Then they do the
shove. Yeah.
Once they do the shove, it was great. Mm. The shove changed the whole dynamic. Big brawl. Jericho screaming, Tyson, Tyson. I think mm-hmm. you have a whole theory. He wasn't even looking for Mike Tyson.
He was looking for Tyson Smith. Tyson. Kenny Omega?
Yeah, he was looking for Tyson Smith. Kenny Omega, yeah. Apparently he was talking about, he was referring to the segment from 10 years ago when Tyson was screaming, "You stole the championship." So, I don't know, but I thought the pull apart and all that stuff was cool. When Tyson got serious, it looked so much better. This is the difference between WWE and everybody else. WWE would have told him, "Dude, don't talk. Shut the F up, look scary, look intimidating, look like you're going to rip his head off. Let him be the cartoon, you be the baddest man on the planet." Just imagine if they had done, you know, essentially this was an homage to the Austin Tyson skit, right? That's all this was.
Right.
The locker room clears out, everybody's a full brawl, mm-hmm. They're separating, they're doing this whole thing. I love that. I did not like the mm-hmm. interaction. What did you think?
It was fine, you know, like, I think whenever you put a person who's not known for pro wrestling in a pro wrestling ring, it's not going to go as planned, and I think it was fine for what it was. I enjoyed it. I think that's like a weird, interesting, like feuds now. Is the Inner Circle going to feud with, like, MMA guys?
Is the Inner Circle going to feud with, I guess so. I mean, they got to do something, right? This can't just end. You have to get Tyson and Jericho now. There's no question Absolutely. About it. If how do you not do it? Obviously, they'll do some sort of weird tag match. They'll have Tyson teamed up with. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who you could team him up with. Seriously, you could have. I don't know. What you'll end up doing is have Tyson, you know, get the hot tag, do one knockout punch, and that's mm-hmm. it. You know, that's fine. Okay, put it on TV. You don't have to wait till a pay-per-view. You got to put it on TV now while this is hot.
Okay. Sure.
Tyson's all over the news. This is the moment to pick this up. You know, do it now and get it over with. I think it's cool. I think it's cool that Tyson had a posse of MMA fighters. Tyson and Cody, maybe you do.
Like a tag, Tyson Cody versus Jericho and Jack Hager?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, something. You're going to have to do something. So I thought the pull apart was great. I thought it was a great way to end the show. It got a lot of mainstream coverage all over the news, ESPN. Every news group is picking up. Tyson got into the brawl with Jericho. Great stuff. Just a little bit more coaching on Tyson. That's all you
sure.
got to do.
He did look like he was falling asleep on Saturday night.
He did. He was tired. He was tired, man. Listen.
Can you do your Tyson impression?
Listen, I can't.
It's so good.
I'm sitting here. I'm looking at a title belt. I said, fuck you, title belt.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you, title belt.
Your Tyson is I think when you start drifting, it turns into Dusty.
If I drink, I could do a good one. Right now, just drifting into Dusty. Everything just drifts into Dusty Rhodes. my whole conversation just drifts into Dusty Rhodes. Sometimes I'm just telling, like, Jess, do me a favor. Get the water for me, baby.
Get some water. I'm excited about this. I enjoy Tyson. I think he's a fun character, and I think he always has been. He's gearing up, he's so bonkers, and he's getting in such great shape for his comeback. Definitely, I don't know if he's going to be bumping around the ring, but definitely have him just like knock every single person out that runs at him. Right.
I feel like Tyson was just high on ayahuasca the entire time. I feel like he was just hallucinating the whole thing.
I'm having a trip.
Listen, I took some ayahuasca for some guy. All I see is Don King's head flying around everywhere.
Am I living in my nightmare or in my wildest dream?
So those are two really good shows. Really much liked it. Guys, we're approaching our Q&A segment here on the show. If you're in the chat room, send us your questions. We're going to do our best to answer. It could be anything from current wrestling to past wrestling. Any questions you have regarding professional wrestling, Rich and I will do our best to answer them here in the chat room. Bachelor 3000 says the lisp is too sassy. I got to work on it. I got to work on my tough guy lisp.
It is a very
I
sassy
said, fuck
lisp,
you, but... toothbrush. I got to. I like to envision Mike Tyson fighting with the toothbrush every morning. That's what I hope for. All right. So.
First question.
Go ahead, Rich.
Could Fighter Fest be taped and be put on HBO Max? That's from Hothead 567.
So the HBO Max stuff is very fascinating, right? It was all over the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was all over the AEW show. By the way, when did they change the pillars?
What do you mean?
The posts in AEW, they're like the WWE like lit up ones now. The big round posts. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I guess this Anybody, week, maybe last week.
I did not notice it prior. This is the first time I noticed it. I think it might have had to do with the fact that it was purple for the HBO Max colors. But of you guys, did you notice it prior to this? Because it was the HBO Max logo on the pillows, which is great. HBO Max is interesting. Yeah. I know that they have big plans for this. I don't know how live programming would work, but... there's no reason why they wouldn't put it on there, right? Like, what's on there? What properties are on there?
On HBO Max?
Yeah.
Ooh, everything. If you're subscribed to HBO, you automatically get grandfathered into getting HBO Max, which includes the DC app. So every DC movie, cartoons, all that stuff.
So the DC universe is on there?
No. It's just you have access to it. You don't have to
Universal
connect
login.
It's like...
okay.
It's part of the HBO Max.
Got it.
You have whatever's on HBO at the time. You have Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Turner Classic Movies, which is completely bonkers that there's so much stuff on there. And a couple other things too, but it's like a hub. It's like a digital hub for like all this stuff. And you don't have to do separate logins. You just log in and then you can do. Yeah, I was texting you yesterday and I had it on my PS4, and I'm like, yo, there's so much stuff on here. Like, why can't they add more stuff? I think that's a good question. But I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would do Fyter Fest on HBO Max.
Yeah, I think they need to. They're really pushing. Maybe eventually they'll do something, but they are really pushing BR Live. I think they need to rebrand BR Live for sure. I don't think the Bleacher Report name has any substance for streaming. So so I don't know what they're doing. There's a lot of things that you could do here.
What else? Let's see. We got. Do you think Shad Gaspard is a guarantee for the next Warrior Award?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, why not? Right?
Yeah, yeah. They'll definitely do something. You know, very, very, very awful what happened, but I think WWE may do something for his family or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Have we watched The Ring? We're talking about it every week.
Yeah, love Dark Side of the Ring. I think they did a great job this season. The Owen thing, the only criticism I have of that is that it could have been two episodes. But this Dark Side of the Ring has become Vice's highest rated show of all time. Highest rated series and highest rated watched show of all time. So they are... They're doing a good job with it. I'm curious next season what they could cover. Obviously, Eddie is something they could cover. The steroid trial is something that could be a two-parter. Mm-hmm. Big story there. You know, maybe the fall of WCW they could do. I'm just trying to think what are some of the big, you know, Plane Ride from Hell is a great story.
Oh, that would be so good. But would they be able to get anybody involved in that that is not tied to a Legends deal?
Oh, who can they have? Yeah, that's a big problem. Who's accessible? Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have a bunch of people, right? They could have all the AEW guys. You know, Arn Anderson could talk about something. Bret Hart will probably talk. You know, they could do so much. So I'm not that concerned with finding the talent, but what's going to be an interesting story, you know?
Is there anything from ECW or WCW that you've thought about that you'd like to see a Dark Side of the Ring of?
All of ECW. There's so much with ECW. Mm-hmm. I think the fall of WCW, like the whole thing that's based off of this book. Not the death of WCW. I was trying to look by my Guy Evans book actually.
No, I know. I thought it would be funny if you just accidentally knocked everything over behind you.
Knocked it all over. I think they could do a lot with that. I think the ending of WCW could do well. I think the drugs. That story, the drug abuse of the 80s to 90s, that's a big story that they could tell. There's a lot. There's a lot that they could pick from here. Tremendous amount that they could pick from here. The Undertaker. What do you think of the Undertaker documentary?
I really enjoy it. I do think that last episode was like a little bit of filler, though. Because I feel like that was just... It was the history between Shawn Michaels, him, and Triple H. You know, I think that was like a lot of fun filler where it's like everybody knows, I would say like 3/4 of that episode, everybody knew about, right? You didn't really get like a mind blowing revelation during the course of that, but it was sweet to see the behind the scenes stuff. And I think next week's episode this coming Sunday's episode may be the Goldberg Saudi Arabia thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that was an utter disaster.
Right. And they touched on that in the last few episodes saying if he goes out there like once or twice a year and he feels like he screwed it up, he's going to work harder to redeem himself. You know? So, like, I think going by that, I think that Goldberg match probably messed with him like a great deal. It's also weird to see him as a regular guy, right?
It's really strange to see him as a regular guy, just which is fine, but I think the documentary is great. You're getting this insight of him without, you know, the gimmick, but all I could see is this guy doesn't want to stop. He just wants to keep doing this. Like he loves this business.
guy loves the razzling.
He loves the razzling, man. I truly believe, the more I watch him, the more I realize that he's probably my favorite wrestler of all time.
Really?
Yeah. He's probably okay. My favorite. Because you got to think about it, man. Like, this guy's been doing this for 30 years. And I know people criticize it online. You should retire. You should retire. As soon as that gong goes off, you stop.
Oh, forget it.
That pop
it. Yeah.
Never changes for him. That pop is always there for him. You know, just the guy, just the greatest character WWE has ever created. Top to bottom.
100%.
Undeniably. Vince's greatest creation is The Undertaker. And I think that's why they have that tremendous relationship. This is purely a Vince McMahon creation. This gimmick didn't exist somewhere else that he borrowed. This was the first time he created a major success of a character.
I agree 100%. And it's a very fascinating character. I'm also glad that they're doing this documentary now before it's too late. But also, it's kind of cool that they've been filming him for like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, with the intention that he was retiring. So seeing Vince in an orange shirt is very uncomfortable.
Oh, I just got done working out, brother.
Oh, yeah. How sweaty do you think he was?
Oh, Vince doesn't sweat. He's like, he's got that thing that pigs have.
Hate perspiration.
It just goes, he has no pores, so he has to be in like wet liquid all day.
I'm poreless. Is it just being wet liquid all day? That's phenomenal.
He needs to be in mud all day. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. We got, besides Flair, are there any particular wrestlers whose chops you always like to see? Anybody on the New Japan roster? Kenta Kobashi's chops are pretty fantastic.
Yeah, the Japanese guys do great chops. American side, I would do Chris Benoit, Eddie. Chris had great chops. Yeah. Eddie had great chops. Trent Barretta.
Kenny's got good chops.
Trent Barretta has a phenomenal chop. Really underrated.
Sean's got a great chop.
Chops. Hunter has good chops. Who else does the chop? Do you remember they banned chop for a while? You couldn't do chops?
For like a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who had good chops.
Wrestling is so weird sometimes.
Yeah. Brian Pillman's chops. Hoovy had amazing chops. Ronnie Garvin's chops, going old school. That's a good chop.
I like Mox's chops too. Mox has good big chops.
I think the chop is so ridiculous, right? If you think about the chop, you could punch him. You could punch him right in the nose. Why do you want to slap his chest?
You gotta slap them chest, man. And it's always to the chest. You never get a chop to the belly. Or
I want chops to the belly.
Like if somebody got down on one knee and just like did like a chop to the belly, I feel like that's like your next moonsault. That's like, whoa, what happened? This dude just chopped this guy in the belly. It was amazing.
You know what I love? What move I love? The rake to the back.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got to Hogan it up every time. Like, there's no, like, scratch. You got to do, like, the big claw that Hogan would do. And I always think, like, that's such a heel move. Like, who scratches somebody's back like that? What an ass.
Oh, such a heel move. And that's, I feel like that's, like, people can complain about, like, old school wrestling all they want. But I feel like some of those things are so great. When you see them in a match today, they still work. Like, if MJF raked somebody in the back, you'd be like, oh, what a bastard. Yeah.
Exactly. Roddy did chop Adam Cole in the dick once, says Bachelor 3000. That's perfect. Dick chop? Love it.
So
Walter
good.
Has great chops. Yeah, Walter, another great one with the chops. You know,
big chops.
Give me, I'm going to ask the chat room this. Give me, before we wrap it up, if you guys have any questions, give me your all-time favorite move, old school, like move that you no longer see done as common.
Ooh.
I got pile a list drivers. Here. I got a laundry list. Pile drivers?
Yeah. Like a good pile driver. Like a good Terry Funk Cactus Jack. Like, I'm going to pull you by the waist of your pants and pile drive you.
Okay. You want to get my list? I'll give you mine. Number one.
Please.
Number one, the crotch, like getting crotched on the ropes.
Okay.
Love that move so much. And then the shaking of the rope while you're on it. The Sean spot.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's such an ingenious spot. AJ does that every now and then. I don't know why. I would love that spot as a kid. Loved it.
Because it's funny.
It's a funny spot. The other one is laying on the top. On the top rope, horizontal in the corner, and getting the kick, that one that Sean would do. Another great spot. The incline holding vertical suplex.
Yeah, you don't really see that too much.
You don't see that at all. You don't see like a long-standing vertical suplex. And my all-time favorite, atomic drops.
Really?
I love an atomic drop. Bret Hart had the best atomic drop. You never see it anymore. Nobody does an atomic drop.
Backbreakers, too, I think. I think, like, a good backbreaker or, like, a good, what's the hold? I can't think of it. The gut stretch.
Okay.
Submission.
Abdominal stretch.
The abdominal stretch. You don't see a good abdominal stretch.
You don't. You don't see a nice, long, pulled abdominal stretch. How about the rake to the eyes with the rope?
Yeah, you don't really see that.
Love it.
That's too old. That's like too cartoony, though, right? But again, like anything that keeps the guys safe, right? Like anything, because like when you think about that stuff, you're like, oh, they're working very safe because like, yeah, this dude's raking his back, he's poking him in the eye,
just slowing it down. Here's some of the suggestions in chat. Adam says the Razor's Edge, nobody's using it. A Hoovie Driver and 450 Splash, Atomic Drop, a really good Russian Leg Sweep.
Yeah.
The salt to the eyes. Rake to the eyes with the ropes. A really good ass simple drop kick. Yeah, you don't really see that as much. Sunset flip. A good bear hug. I would love a good bear hug. Rich gives the best bear hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. One more question for you guys here. Let's do this. I'm having fun with the chat. Mm-hmm. Best punch of all time. Your favorite punch of all time. Not best, because that's debatable, right? Your personal favorite punch of all time.
Austin?
Okay.
Austin, Dusty, Sean, and I would say Mick Foley's on that list, too, in a weird way.
I got just one. My all-time favorite. Go. I'm not saying the best. I'm saying all-time favorite. Bret Hart.
Okay.
I would say he had the best punch of all time.
Believable.
I personally would say that. Very believable punch. The best punch of all time goes to Bret Hart for me. Top.
Is that
to
your favorite? But your favorite.
Favorite and my best. My personal best.
Okay.
I'm not gonna debate what you guys think is your best. But I'm gonna say in my opinion, the best punch was Bret Hart because it looks so freaking snug and the snap is unbelievable. We actually got a lot of feedback on the best punch and their favorite punch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Gambit Rock says Bret Hart by far. Larch says Lawler. Lawler has one of the most legendary punches. Razor had my favorite punch. Razor did have a great punch. That big one.
Great punch.
He would do that big one, like sideways punch.
Almost like Bret, The Rock.
Crown Wolf says Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Great shoot punch. Chuck Palumbo, Bubba Ray. Jeff Jarrett has a great punch. Bruno's punch was like a big wound up.
The haymaker.
So who's your, in your opinion, the best? Austin?
My favorite is definitely Austin because it was so outlandish.
Yeah, Austin had a good punch too.
And Rock, so fast.
Rock has the worst punches. People don't realize how bad The Rock's punches were.
Very soft. They always look like he was punching with marshmallows.
That's my Rock punching. You ready? Ready for this?
Yeah.
Always this.
Somebody needs to call a doctor. What are you doing? You're getting electrified. That's why.
We're all getting electrified. Yeah. Savage, good punch.
Savage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Razor inspired The Rock's punches, by the way. Yeah, I'm sure. Big sideways punch. Yeah, I think that's it. We're ready? You want to wrap it up?
I'm ready.
All right, boys and girls. That's it for this week. Had a tremendous time with you guys. Rich and I are going to be back next week with another show. I think maybe, do you want to do a call-in show next week also?
Yes, let's try to get that going on. When do you want to do it?
When I could get a call screener. I got to see the schedule and when I could get MG Geek to maybe screen the calls, and I got to figure out how the call screening works totally. But we're going to do something a little different to the podcasting world. We're going to do a very traditional radio style show. We're going to have segments and then we're going to have open the lines and you guys are going to call in. We're going to do a whole thing here and then we're going to pitch
it to all
the top radio stations in the world.
It's going to be the best.
I'm not pitching it, but we'll do a call in next week. Next week we got to do the watch along. So do you want to do it on like Saturday? We could do a call in show.
Sure. Next Thursday I'm going to be with you in studio.
Next Thursday you're here with me in studio. We'll do the regular
show. And then we'll do some Matt Pranos and then we'll get a bite to eat.
Okay, let's do that. We could grill
a couple
in the
of beerskis.
Yeah, a couple of
we
beerskis.
We can do that too. That'd be a great idea.
Let's do it. All right, guys. We'll see you all next week. Remember, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. You hitting that like button, you hitting the subscribe button helps us out unbelievably. Every time you hit subscribe, it gets us closer to our goal for the end of the year for subscribers. I think we're almost at 4,000. I think we're at 4,000. We're almost at 4,000. Mm-hmm. So I want to hit 4,000 on YouTube, and I want to get going. I want to move forward with it. All right, guys, that's it for this week. See you next time. Take care.